Welcome to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is 8:05 Central Time. That means it is time to study the daily New Testament reading. Our guest pastor joining us by phone this morning, the Reverend Bront Hoffman from Zion Lutheran Church in Anchorage, Alaska. Good morning, Pastor Hoffman.
Good morning.
Thanks so much for being our guest this morning and helping us study Romans chapter 9. Tell us about Zion Lutheran Church in Anchorage, Alaska.
Well, it's a wonderful congregation. It's been here as of November of 2013. We celebrated our 50th anniversary of ministry in Anchorage, and it's just a very cool congregation. We have lots of studies and we outreach and stuff like that. It's also neat because we get to minister. We're very close to the joint Elmendorf-Richardson base, and so we do get a chance to even meet people from all over the country that are in the military serving there, and so they come here, and it's also a huge blessing.
Wonderful. Well, glad that you are there and that God has given you the opportunities to deliver His good gifts, that the saints can gather around and hear God's word, and that you're proclaiming the good news of Jesus there in Anchorage, Alaska. We are studying Romans chapter 9 this morning, verses 1 through 18. Anything you'd like us to understand about the text before we dig in this morning?
Well, I think we're going to find that it's going to become perhaps all too painfully familiar to us as far as struggles in not only in Christian ministry, but in our vocations as parents, in our vocations as pastors, and even in anyone who is involved in church work in any way. I think we're going to see how the suffering comes in, but also we're going to see how God's word indeed doesn't return empty, and St. Paul will get into that. We'll get into that very strongly.
All right, let's dig in. Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 18. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, he says.
That's a wonderful Semiticism that St. Paul brings in there. I'm speaking the truth, I'm not lying. In other words, pay attention, because what I'm about to say is really important. This is sort of a Semitic exclamation point that he's putting on there. And so it's almost to the level of the Shema Yisrael, of Hero Israel, but he's saying to them, I'm telling the truth, I'm not lying, pay attention.
So, listen up. Yeah, the Shema. I love that. Listen up. Pay attention. My conscience bears witness in the Holy Spirit that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart. Why unceasing anguish in his heart?
Well, because he's about to reference something that is the nearest and dearest to all Christians. He's saying, he's going to be talking about the faith, and he's going to be talking about the mercy of God, and it's anguishing him because he's seeing an absence of it. And so he's letting them know, I have something very troubling, something very sorrowful to tell you. This is why I need you continuing to listen up, listen up. I'm about to say something bad. for lack of a better word, I'm going to be saying something that is of great trouble.
Verse 3, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. So let's start with just verse 3. For I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh.
Well, how huge is that? He's saying that you know, what you're suffering in your unbelief and your cursedness, and St. Paul is saying, I wish it was on me. And so that, and then, and rather than being on you, because he's telling them they're in great peril, they're in great danger, and if he could take it away from them, he would. And of course, this is building up to something. As we read first and later in the verses, he's building them up to, he's not going to be the one that will take away their sins. He's not going to be the one that will do that. But he's building up to it to say, if I could do it, I would, but I can't.
And he talks about his kinsmen, according to the flesh, they are Israelites. And to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs. And from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen.
Now he really hits a home. He really hits it home to say, you are people that God has given all of these immeasurable gifts to. All of these wonderful gifts that you have received, and he's given to you without ceasing. He's given adoption, he's given glory, he's given covenants, and he's given his very law, his word, and the worship, and all the promises. And he says to them, they belong to the patriarchs, the fathers. And he's saying that this is amazing, all of these wonderful things that God has given you. So now you get a bigger reflection in why he would say that he's speaking in anguish because of all of the wonderful things God has done, and now he's seeing them sort of floating away from it.
And so to them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. This line, how are they connected to Christ?
Okay, now this is where it's great, because he not only says, as of right now, but he's saying to the patriarchs, to the fathers, from our fathers, from all of Israel, going back, even according to the flesh is the Christ, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. This is most certainly true. He's letting them know that he's not trying to invent some new religion. He's bringing them all of this promises, and the promise now is that Christ is for them. And he's saying, you know, this is not something new. And he's always been the Christ over them and for them. And yet, you know, again, and we get back to the anguish, and he's sorrowful because they're falling away from this.
And verse 5 ends with, who is God over all, blessed forever. Amen. What does this amen mean when we see this in Scripture?
Oh, well, again, it's a wonderful Semiticism. A neat thing about the word amen is in Hebrew, English, German, Greek, the word translates amen, and people have just said amen in all of these languages. And of course, as Luther writes in his catechism, amen is he's saying to them with another exclamation point, everything I've said, amen, this is most certainly true. And so he really, I love St. Paul's language here of speaking to say to them, look, I'm going to begin this with saying, I'm telling you the truth, I'm not lying. And then he finishes what he needs to say by saying, and this is most certainly true. So it's a great punctuation, it's a great proclamation of Jesus Christ for them. And that's really a strong statement.
Looking over this first section, this first paragraph, anything else you'd like for us to know before we go on to the next section?
Well, again, we're going to have to come back to it in the later one. So for now, no, but we're going to need to come back to it in a second.
All right.
Once we get into the next verses.
Let's take a look at verses 6 and following. But it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham, because they are his offspring. But through Isaac shall your offspring be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. Well, let's pause there. Yeah, let's take a look at that.
Well, now here we go. Now this is the what I say to my Bible study. This is sort of the racism is removed in here, and elitism of who we are as a person is removed, because he's saying to them, it's not as though the word of God has failed. When we see these Israelites that are falling away from the faith, and he says, and I'll tell you why. Not all who are descended from Jacob or Israel belong to Israel. It's not about your race. It's not about your genes. And not all are children of Abraham because they are his offspring, but through Isaac shall your offspring be named. And, of course, when we see that, there's a good reference to Genesis 21 there. And St. Paul will reference this again in Galatians 3:29. But this means that so he's talking to say that it's not about who you are, and it's going to build up to the end of what he says in the first section we went through. This means that it is, did we do it to verse 8 yet?
I did read it, but we haven't really reviewed it yet.
This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. Now, Paul is saying the foundational element of your identity isn't that you're genetically related to Abraham, but it is that you are inexchangeably related to Christ on account of his promise. Now, you're made his children because Christ promises this, not because of anything you've done, not because of who your parents are, nothing. And he's counting it all as faith. And he's letting them know this so that, as you know, as we see, as Paul being a Pharisee, he would know the other side of that coin is his righteous works, and he was a Pharisee among Pharisees. And now he's telling them, no, it's not that. It is that you're counted not by your works, but according to the promise that you have been given in Jesus Christ.
We are studying the Daily New Testament reading today with Pastor Bront Hoffman from Zion Lutheran Church in Anchorage, Alaska. We're in Romans chapter 9. Pastor Hoffman, looking at this section, just verses 6 through 8, anything else that you'd like to review before we take our break?
Well, I just don't think that people can read this and get enough of the proclamation of faith alone through here and the promises of Jesus Christ apart from who we are. And if somebody takes that away from there, then they have a very strong understanding of these verses.
Amen. Well, we need to take a quick break. When we come back from that break, we'll continue studying Romans chapter 9, verses 1 through 18 today with Pastor Bront Hoffman from Zion Lutheran Church in Anchorage, Alaska. Stick around for more His Time right after this, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
You've discovered Worldwide KFUO. Now discover how easy it is to listen to KFUO where you are. Discover our online stream and on-demand programs that allow you to listen where, when, and how you want. Discover how easy it is to listen on your radio, smartphone, Wi-Fi radio, and other listening devices. You've discovered the Christ-centered message that KFUO proclaims daily in both word and song. We are KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Cross Defense, the apologetic show for inquiring minds of all ages. Cross Defense airs Mondays from 2 to 3 p.m. on air, online, on demand, right here on Worldwide KFUO.
Welcome back to His Time. I'm your host, Andy Bates. Today we are studying with Pastor Brant Hoffman from Zion Lutheran Church in Anchorage, Alaska. We're in Romans chapter 9 today, ready to pick up at verse 9. For this is what the promise said, about this time next year I will return, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing, either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Now, grammatically, this is kind of challenging to follow in English. I don't know if it's different in other languages. For this is what the promise said, about this time next year I will return and Sarah shall have a son.
Mm-hmm. Well, Paul is always a roller coaster Greek in his Greek. Dr. Oswald at seminary did an amazing job of helping us to untangle him and, you know, to check where your tense is and everything, and you'll be fine. But this is another great statement of faith. Because what is the promise? About this time next year, I will return and Sarah shall have a son. Now, as we all know, Sarah was a young, fertile woman who... Oh, wait, no. She was really old. She was like 90 years old. Hmm. And when he says, I'm going to come back and you're going to have a son, well, again, once again, the promises of God start to... look like, well, this is counterintuitive to everything we understand about everything. And so when he says, well, what is the promise here? Well, the promise is that the offspring, that what you expect is going to happen, it's not going to happen, but what God expects to happen, it will happen. And, you know, because 90-year-old women, I mean, cut them some slack. They're not supposed to be having babies. And Sarah, at this point in her life, she was barren. She had no children. And she says, you know, I've all these years been barren, and will I now know this joy? Will I know this happiness? And so she's actually pretty, she's kind of, it's almost ironic for her, and yet it's bittersweet kind of thing. And so the promise here is now what you thought was dead, I'm going to make alive. And so that is the ultimate promise of Jesus Christ, is what is once dead, our old Adam's dead in our sins, I will now make you alive. And so, and dead men, you know, as a friend of mine, Pastor Riley, once said, only a fool thinks that dead men answer doors when Jesus says he knocks. And so we only hear him by faith. And we're only alive by faith. And so, that statement, it should make your arm hairs go, woo! Because he's talking about somebody who thought that there was a death inside them and there wasn't. There was God saying, no, there's going to be life there.
And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though they were not yet born and had done nothing either good or bad in order that God's purpose of election might continue, not because of works, but because of him who calls, she was told, the older will serve the younger. As it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated.
Okay, now here's another thing, because we have to look at how Semitically... What is the pecking order here? And as the youngest, personally, as the youngest of five, I understand the pecking order. And in this culture, the firstborn is the one born with entitlement. They're born saying, there's no question, you're the firstborn, so you're going to be given everything. I mean, we'll think of the prodigal son, you know. He was the second born, and his brother was going to inherit the farm, and so now we're saying here that Jacob, who's going to be the younger brother, he's going to say, "I love him," and yet he's the second born, and even when Esau is born, Jacob is pulling on his heel, so he's even a rebellious second born, and so you'll see that, and Jacob. You know, we'll see how he's going to get this inheritance and how Rebekah how Rebecca puts lamb's wool on him in all this. And so, but the heritage is already promised to him. And it goes against the way things are. But God continually proves to us that what we think is there, he says, well, no, that's not how I'm going to do this. If anything, we worship the God of irony. So, because what we expect to be going on just isn't happening. And he doesn't bow to our will. He doesn't bend his knee to us. We bend ours to him.
Hmm. Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. That's interesting. The older will serve the younger. Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated.
Oh, I know. That's hard stuff. Well, we see here now, this is something that, where is it? Let's see. This is interesting because when God has now said, and this is a hard thing for people to hear when they see Esau I hated, this is going to come very important when, in Paul's theology of dealing with the Gentiles, is he's going to say that rather than giving Esau the cultural place, I'm giving it to Jacob, somebody who everybody in Israel wouldn't expect. And again, this is going to come back. This is going to come back important to say when you thought the Gentiles were beneath us. No, I'm putting them on the same level. And he's going to bring that back to us. And so, because remember, St. Paul is using examples from Israel. And he's going to always point us, using these examples from Israel, to the ludicrous nature of Jesus coming in the flesh and establishing his kingdom by dying. And so you're going to see that he was, as in Isaiah, he was nothing that we should look at him, and you know, he was nothing to look at. And so he's going to be using Jacob and Esau as an example for the righteousness of faith versus works. Because remember, Esau's number one according to the law. And Jacob has now been number one according to God's grace. So that's going to be for Lutherans, that's got to be the end of the day for us. I mean, that's it. We have anything that's good about us, we have it by grace.
Anything else about 9 through 13 before we go on to the next segment?
No.
All right. Verse 14, what shall I say then? What shall we say then? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So then he has mercy on whom he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills. Wow.
Huh? Now, here's a good thing. Who is asking when he says, what shall we say then? Is there injustice in God's part? Because you gotta understand, there's this part of us that says there's injustice. And that's our old Adam. Our old Adam is going, well, according to the law, you know, this should happen and this should happen, and now this is unjust. And but he'll say, well, by no means, because these laws that you have set up, one of the proclamations of grace and mercy, he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I'll have compassion, and that's from Exodus 33. And so he's letting him know, this law is in place, but I show grace and mercy, which transcends the laws which are used to kill you and to keep societal order. And, you know, even when they ask Jesus, for example, about divorce, and they says, well, Moses gave you divorce, not because it's good, but because your hearts are hard. So this law was just kind of keeping the ducks in a row. But here, God's mercy and compassion, he's not broken, he's not fallen, he's not trying to stay within the boundaries of the law. what he's saying is, above and beyond the law is my mercy for all those people that I love. And of course, verse 16 just mm-hmm. kills it.
So then
it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who has mercy. Now we're back to the first section we talked about. All of this stuff, all this unbelief, and all these gifts that he's given them, and then he says, but then Christ, and from their race according to the flesh is the Christ who is God over all, blessed forever, amen. And so now he's back to this, to saying, you guys have done all this stuff, and you've been given all this stuff, and yet Christ is still Lord over all. And so this is where the irony comes in about, is there injustice? Is this unjust? Well, if God was being just, there would be fireballs destroying Israel all day. Every day there would be this constant stream of fireballs. But he holds off all of his anger, and later all of that would be put on Jesus Christ. And so when they start going, well, that's really unjust, he says, well, no way, that's not how God talks. So I love that section.
I want to reference something, but we'll go on to the next verse before, and I think it'll fit in better. Verse 17, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth.
Well, Pharaoh's an interesting character, and even Cyrus is another example of this, but God raises, for this very purpose, I raise you up. Pharaoh, you're in power, just so you know, is because of me, that I might show my power in you. In other words, to say that pharaohs don't raise themselves up, kings don't raise themselves up, presidents don't raise themselves up. We're not, God is the God of our leaders, and we can get into a long discussion about how we are to honor our leaders, as we see in the fourth commandment. It's sense of humbling. For Lutherans, we would see that as humbling, that when we hold a position that one would define as one of authority, is that we should treat that position of authority properly, to be saying that this authority isn't mine that I took, but mine that was given to me. And so it gives us a sense of mercy and humility when we have a position that we call authority.
I can't help but think of John chapter 9 when I hear, when I read, that I might show my power in you, that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. I think of John chapter 9, verse 1, as he passed by, he saw a man blind from birth, and his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? And Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him.
Mm-hmm.
It rings the same, doesn't it? That I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. I will have compassion on whom I will have compassion. For this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, that I might show that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. When the disciples asked who sinned, who caused this man to be born blind, you know, who sinned caused him to be born blind, Jesus says, it's not that that this man sinned or his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him, that his name would be proclaimed, that his power would be shown in the sky.
Well, they ask Jesus a law question, and he gives them a gospel answer.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you want to know who sinned? Adam and Eve sinned, okay? Then he could have given them their law answer and be gone with it. And the answer is, no, you're not looking at this the right way. You're not looking at the problem here, and you're not even looking to the solution for the problem, the promised solution, and God's mercy, is shown in Him, and that's a great passage you read, because what you see here, and so often Jesus was asked law questions, and he gave people gospel answers. And they're saying, you know, because they say, who sinned so that we can have justice, Lord? And he's saying, you're missing the point. The point is, He is here, and as I am his God, I'm going to show you mercy. And because the truth of the matter is, the blame game is not our righteousness. The establishing the wrongdoing isn't the answer, because as St. John says, if we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. And so when Jesus is asked this kind of rudimentary question, he gives them what they need to hear rather than justifying themselves in knowing that, this person's mother was a bad person, so he's blind, or this person's father was a bad person, so he's blind. You know, so instead of looking for human justice, Jesus gives them free grace and mercy.
Hmm. So then he has mercy on whomever he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills. Looking over this this last section or the text as a whole, what else would you like, if anything, would you like for us to know or to understand about this text as we wrap up our study today, Pastor?
Well, verse 18 is a hat tip back to Pharaoh, because now we have to go back to Exodus and the freeing of Israel, and Pharaoh was not going to do it. And so he hardened his heart. And he paid the penalty. He paid the price, because when God says, you know, the old, let my people go, you know, this is what we're talking about here. And his authority that he was using, he was acting like it was his authority. And God was showing him, no, this isn't your authority. This is my authority that I give you. And it's not just a bash on the pharaohs. It's both a promise and a curse for us to say, you know what, don't use your power in this way, because it's not yours. But it's a promise to say, hey, understand that you have this authority as given to you by God, and you have this, you have a true God who would give this, and that should be what colors how that's used. And Pharaoh, great example, because God's people are saying, let us go, and he's using his authority, his armies, to say no. And then, of course, where did his armies end up? In the bottom of the Red Sea. So he also relieved them of duty. And Israel walks across dry land, which you're not supposed to be able to do, but God does that.
We've been
another baptism reference, as, you know, being brought through there and in the ark, you know, so... There's so much in this, I swear, that we could go on for another hour easily.
Well, we've been studying the daily New Testament reading, Romans chapter 9, today with Pastor Bront Hoffman from Zion Lutheran Church in Anchorage, Alaska. Pastor Hoffman, thank you so much for being our guest today and helping us dig into this Romans text.
Thank you so much for having me on. It was a real pleasure to be here.
It was a lot of fun. God's blessings. God bless you and all the saints there at Zion Lutheran Church in Anchorage, Alaska.
Thank you.
Coming up in just a little bit, we've got more His Time. Stick around for more right after this break, right here on Worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.